One Sunday afternoon in August 1965, on a day when baseball's most storied rivals, the Giants and Dodgers, vied for the pennant, the national pastime reflected the tensions in society and nearly sullied two men forever. Juan Marichal, a Dominican anxious about his family's safety during the Civil War back home, and John Roseborough, a black man living in South Central Los Angeles, shaken by the Watts riots a week earlier, attacked one another in a moment immortalized by an iconic photo, Marichal's bat poised to strike Roseborough's head. The book, The Fight of Their Lives, How Juan Marichal and John Roseborough turned baseball's ugliest brawl into a story of forgiveness and redemption. It examines the incident in its context and aftermath, and also explores American culture and the racial prejudices against blacks and Latinos both men faced and surmounted. Sports writer and author John Rosengren joins us this morning. John, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
A delight to have you with us. What brought you to this story and to that moment?
Well, probably like many of your listeners, I've seen that iconic photograph with Marichal raising the bat over Roseborough. But it was when I learned more about the story, the backstory of how events in the Dominican Republic and the Watts riots in L.A. contributed to this event that played out in the field of the national pastime. And then hearing how these two men, forever linked by this fight, kind of overcame that and eventually reconciled and transformed that into an occasion of redemption. When I learned all that, I thought this has the ingredients to be a good book, and it was my kind of story, and I decided to tell it.
How much of that was a, you know, we have a lot of discord in sports where one player goes after another for one reason or another, and it is the heat of the moment. How much of this was that, and how much of this was different?
Well, I think this event stands out from others in several ways. First off, it's in the context of the Dodgers and Giants, you know, the most heated and storied rivalry in all of sports. It happened during the summer of 65, a turbulent time in the United States, and came down, you know, these two teams were locked in a pennant race late in the season. And then there were these events. In the Dominican, there was a civil war taking place where the United States had contributed already 20,000 troops, more than any other place except for Vietnam. And Juan Marichal, a Dominican, was watching the scenes on television at night of the battle being fought in the streets of Santo Domingo, worried, sick, literally, about his family's safety. He had a terrible sinus infection. And his teammate Willie Mays said Marichal was so distraught that he shouldn't have been playing baseball that summer. Meanwhile, John Roseborough, who's a black man living in South Central L.A., has just watched the Watts riots burn the week before. I mean, from Dodger Stadium, he and his teammates could see the smoke rising from the buildings and that were burning in Watts. And John was thinking, why are we playing baseball at a time like this when the racial tensions are so heated and intense and, you know, tearing our country apart? And one night, the demonstrators were scheduled to march down the street in front of Roseborough's house, so he stayed up that night with a loaded gun on his front step, ready to protect his family. So he was on edge. So these events in society, affected both men and it deeply impacted them personally, and they played out, I think, in the, again with the, in this heated pennant race late in the summer of '65. And, went to an extreme. There have been fights in baseball before and since, but never where one man has struck another in the head with a bat, nor where one has thrown a baseball at another's head from only 3 feet away. And so I think that all those circumstances make this stand out in baseball history.
Not that it excuses the action in any way, shape, or form, however, or the actions in any way, shape, or form. However, you do point out that this is uncharacteristic behavior on the part of both men.
Exactly. Juan Marichal was a fun-loving guy. His nickname was Laughing Boy. He had an easy smile, a cheerful disposition, loved practical jokes. He was also a devout Catholic. He prayed three of his favorite psalms every night. He went to Mass on Sundays. Even when the team was traveling, you know, on the road, he'd go find a church to go to Mass. And so he wasn't a man prone to violence. John Roseborough was also a guy who his wife and kids have told me they kind of joke that he wanted to be tougher than he was, or wanted people to think he was tougher than he was. On the inside, he was really kind of a gentle soul. And so I think what happened was, you know, these background or circumstances put both men on edge, and then in the heat of the moment, they behaved in ways unusual to both, and that they immediately both regretted.
One of the fascinating aspects of the story is that Roseborough is part of the he's part of the Dodgers, and this is an organization that signed Jackie Robinson, and has a history, and yet he still feels alienated by his race. And there is still a level of discrimination that pervaded not only that ball club, but the major leagues in its entirety.
Exactly. You know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947, but he didn't eradicate racism. And unfortunately, that existed. And, you know, the national pastime reflects what's going on in society and the attitudes of society. And even though the Dodgers were better than many other teams in terms of welcoming African Americans and being more like a family, the Dodgers too had were within that structure of racism. The team had its training facility in Vero Beach in Florida, and so the black players couldn't stay in the same hotels. They couldn't ride the there were taxi cabs that wouldn't give black players a ride. They wouldn't let the black players eat at certain restaurants, and there are certain areas of town the black players knew they just better stay out of. When their wives came to watch games, you know, Jerry Robinson couldn't sit in the same, or sorry, Jerry Roseborough, Johnny's wife, couldn't sit in the same section as the other players' wives. So Roseborough felt the discrimination in society and among, you know, in Dodger Town as intensely as other African Americans throughout the country at that time.
But as you point out, he did come to realize that in all actuality, he had it better than many other African Americans and other teams.
Right. It was when he got traded to the Minnesota Twins in 1968 that Jackie Robinson.
Right.
We're talking John Roseborough. When he went to the Twins, he realized that the Dodgers were more evolved than a lot of other organizations, and Calvin Griffith was the owner of the Minnesota Twins, and he set the tone in that organization. He had said famously that he brought the Senators from Washington to Minnesota because there were fewer blacks here and everybody knew they could fill up a wrestling ring, but they wouldn't go to baseball games. And Roseborough described Griffith as having a plantation mentality and treating African Americans as inferior. And so he struggled under Griffith for 2 years.
Once the incident happens, you're in Candlestick Park, it's August 22nd, 1965. What is the outcry? What is the concern? I mean, we talk about the iconic nature of the image. We talk about the knowledge of what happened. How long did that ultimately play out in the press and its analyzing by people?
Well, it's important to remember times are so different then. You know, we've become accustomed to the 24/7 news cycle and Twitter and Facebook and other social media and the constant news feeds on television. But this was back in a day when many of the people received their news through the print media. And this is the iconic photograph with Marshall holding his bat over Roseborough ran in Life magazine, which was the most popular magazine of the day, and Sports Illustrated. And as such, it shaped people's opinions. It cast Marshall as the villain and Roseborough as the victim. And the press was quick to jump on the idea that Marshall was this hot-blooded Latino, you know, playing into the stereotypes of the day, and accused him of being yet another, you know, hot-blooded Latino with a quick temper who reacted in excessive violence. Well, as I pointed out earlier, that couldn't be farther from the truth. Marshall was not that kind of guy. And this was an uncharacteristic moment from him. But he also faced the scorn of, I mean, the press really went after him, and the fans, many of whom just saw that photograph, because I might mention, too, that the tape from the baseball game was shown just once on television, and then Major League Baseball encouraged the Los Angeles television station to destroy it because they're afraid how it might hurt the image of baseball. So conspiracy theorists can have their fun with that. But anyway, the Marshall really labored and was hurt by that characterization of him. And it was to the point where it kept him from getting in the Hall of Fame. He had the numbers. He was the dominant pitcher in the 60s, had more wins than Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax, Bob Gibson. But the fight with Roseboro had so tarnished his reputation that it denied him entrance into the Hall of Fame the first year. The writers didn't vote for him. And then the second year, he still didn't get enough votes to get in. So he called up Roseboro, who in 1982 was running a PR firm in Los Angeles. So this is 17 years after the incident. He calls up Roseboro, and he says, "Johnny, I need your help." And Roseboro, I think, was ready to forgive Marshall at that point because he'd labored under the own guilt, or his own guilt. He had accused Marshall, he'd embraced that victim role and accused Marshall of provoking the incident, and he'd even filed a lawsuit against Marshall, saying he provoked it. He said Marshall's punishment should be 10 minutes in a room alone with me. Mm. Well, later in his tell-all book, My Glory Days with the Dodgers, Roseboro confronted that right up front and admitted he had provoked the incident by throwing the ball back right past Marshall's head. And so Johnny was ready to forgive Juan when he called, and he said, yeah, I'll help you. And they agreed. Roseboro went down to play in a celebrity golf tournament that Marshall hosted in the Dominican. They held a press conference, posed for photos, and told the writers, hey, this is in the past. We've put it behind us. You should, too, and don't let it keep Juan from getting in the Hall of Fame. So several weeks later, when Marshall received the call that he'd been inducted into the Hall of Fame, one of the first people he called was John Rosemary. He said, "Johnny, thank you. I'm in. And he broke down and cried, and Roseboro cried, too. And it was the beginning of this beautiful friendship.
And really, and support, and kind of proof that those kind of things take a while to work out, don't they?
Well, exactly. I mean, both men were very angry, and even though Marshall regretted it immediately, and Roseboro came to regret it, it took time for the two of them, I think, to be ready to reach out to one another and forgive one another and reconcile. The main thing is that they eventually did, and that's what makes it such a great story and a wonderful testament to both men.
And I mean, you point out that in the obituaries for John, he passed away in 2002. They all make reference in the first line to the Marshall incident.
Well, exactly. And this is the way, you know, for better or worse, these two men are going to be, you know, forever linked. And it was the first line of Roseboro's obituary. The wonderful thing about it is, rather than the two of them being, you know, forever linked as these two combatants who behaved in atrocious manner, when people know the full story, they can then be remembered as these two men who eventually overcame that and turned it into an occasion of redemption. And that's where it becomes this, I think, heartwarming and inspirational story.
We have 30 seconds, but do you think baseball as a whole learns from the story?
For those who know the story, anyone who hears and learns a story can be changed by it, and can be the better for it. I certainly was through the course of my research.
The name of the book is The Fight of Their Lives, How Juan Marshall and John Roseboro Turned Baseball's Ugliest Brawl into a Story of Forgiveness and Redemption. The book is published by Lions Press. John Rosengren, thank you very much for spending time with us and sharing this incredible story. I really appreciate your expertise.
Well, you're welcome, Joe. I appreciate your interest. Thanks.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Fight of Their Lives, published by Lions Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.